What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, the NBA Finals are officially set after the weekend. Our matchup is going to be the Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Indiana Pacers. Who had that matchup at the beginning of the year? I'm going to go out on a limb and say none of us did. I mean, Oklahoma City, of course, they've had a fantastic regular season, so they absolutely should be here. But the Indiana Pacers, on the other hand, I don't think any of us had them predicted to make the NBA Finals, but here they are. And speaking of the Indiana Pacers, I got to give them a big shout out and a big thank you for getting rid of the New York Knicks, because I hate when I'm watching a sporting event and they overly show celebrities all the time. And one of them that I was completely annoyed with looking at, and every 5 seconds that they would show, is that stupid, ugly, scrawny, little cunt Timothy Chalamet. I do not give a flying fucking goddamn about that ugly little bitch who I would love to just sucker punch in the back of the fucking head. He is a little scrawny, ugly bitch. He is dumb. Everything about him is dumb, and I couldn't give two shits in a fuck what kind of an actor he is or anything. He's ugly and scrawny. Get him off of my fucking TV screen, especially during a goddamn basketball game. I don't give a crap if he's a fucking New York Knicks fan. Enjoy your tears, you little cunt. Anyways, after I had that rant, because I cannot stand celebrity worship, for Christ's sake, especially that kind of shit. Give a crap who's cheering for anybody. Anyways, on to the actual legit fucking game. But I really do gotta shout out the Pacers, though, for getting rid of them, because I was sick of that crap. Every 5.5 seconds, we had to see what retarded little celebrities in the crowd, drown in your tears, little bitches, drown in your stupid little tears. But let's talk about this matchup between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Indiana Pacers. Now, I've been saying throughout the entire playoffs, especially about the Pacers, but both of these teams are two teams that are playing team basketball. Every dude on each team from top to bottom is playing his part, doing his role, stepping up when they need to. They're playing great offensively. They're playing great defensively. They're taking care of the paint. They're knocking down the game-winning shots when they have to. Oklahoma City, of course, not only has been the best team throughout the entire season, regular season, they never faltered. During the playoffs, they never faltered. I mean, they really have just rolled over every single team they have faced off against every bit of this season. They haven't fallen off at all. SGA, he won the MVP, and he should have, because he hasn't fallen off at all. As a matter of fact, he really hasn't had a bad game at all this year. He's maybe had two bad games, if even that. But just overall, the Oklahoma City Thunder have played flawless basketball. Indiana Pacers, they played great second half basketball. They were able to make the playoffs, and then once they hit the playoffs, they were scared of nobody, and they played great basketball. You cannot take away anything from the Indiana Pacers in this playoff series, or this playoff run that they have had, just because they have rolled through good teams. They've played great defensively. They've had the game-winning shots from the dudes that they need to. Halliburton has been huge. Siakam has been huge. To me, personally, he was the Eastern Conference Finals MVP with Siakam. And to me, he's the huge X factor for this team, because he's already won a championship before with the Toronto Raptors. So he knows what it takes, and I feel like he's been that dude who's been pushing them over the edge and getting them these wins. So I really do like what I see from the Indiana Pacers. But with that being said, in this matchup, to me, like I said about the Oklahoma City Thunder, they have been the most consistent team. They have been the best team. They haven't even really had a bad game. They have played so well up until this point. I can't pick against them, even though the Indiana Pacers have had a good run. I don't expect them to get trucked. I don't think this is going to be a sweep. I mean, you know, as far as like if this was the beginning of the playoffs, not the finals, I think we would all have picked the Pacers to get swept in this type of a matchup. But I think with just the way they've played, I don't see them going out with no heart at all. I actually think they're going to play really hard, and I think they're going to match up well against them. It's just, I think Oklahoma City's been the best team all season long, and really, they got to win it. There's just really no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They are the team who, you know, who's been top dog. They've been the number one overall seed. That means they've been the best team all year. So I am going with an Oklahoma City win in this one. Like I said, I don't think they're going to truck through them, but I do. I think Indiana's going to give them a run for their money, but I have Oklahoma City winning this series in 6 games. The cool thing about this matchup, too, is that neither one of these teams has ever won a championship. So we're going to be seeing a team win its first ever championship. And I just think that's cool just because, I don't have anything against either team at all. And I think it'd be cool to see whoever wins. But I'm definitely leaning towards Oklahoma City in this one, with Indiana giving them a run for their money in some of these games. But Oklahoma City wins it in six games. But I did, I pointed out a couple episodes ago about the connection with Paul George, the Paul George trade, and basically how the Oklahoma City Thunder ended up with a whole bunch of players on their current roster because of that. Well, there actually is a Paul George connection with both teams. Now, I'm not going to break down each and every piece of the connection, but there are a few players on each team who have been big in their playoff runs here, and here are both teams in the NBA Finals, and it has to do with Paul George. So, and both of these teams ending up trading Paul George, and that trade ended up getting them some stock in these players. So, Paul George was originally drafted by the Indiana Pacers, had a pretty solid career with them, and then they ended up trading him to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, within that trade, they either ended up with draft picks or ended up with other players who they ended up trading for along the way to end up eventually with Tyrese Haliburton and Pascal Siakam. Those are obviously two of the big heavy hitters on this team and in this playoff run for the Indiana Pacers. So there's that Paul George connection. Also, a couple of their other guys on their roster, they were draft picks as well, that ended up accumulating at some point in this Paul George connection trade. So then when Paul George is with the Oklahoma City Thunder, they ended up trading him to the Los Angeles Clippers. And they ended up with SGA in that original trade. And then because of that trade, they also ended up with a bunch of draft picks as well. And Jalen Williams also ended up as he's probably their second guy right behind SGA. I mean, as far as points go, he is. But, I mean, you could really make an argument between SGA, Williams, and Chet. But, I mean, regardless, those are two of their top guys. And, I mean, SGA had an MVP season. Who could have predicted that? There's also potential for the Oklahoma City Thunder to get more because they, like I said, they accumulated multiple draft picks in that Paul George trade. As a matter of fact, I think they have four or five more picks over the next couple of seasons. So we could see them building an even stronger team, and they're already the top dog team, number one overall seed, and potentially going to win a championship. So the Paul George connection is real on both of these teams, and they both ended up in the NBA Finals, with this, which is crazy. But it's hard to argue that that was a big deal for these teams. And, you know, sometimes you see some of these trades, and you're like, what the hell kind of trade was that? Well, sometimes this is what the hell kind of trade is that, and you end up in the NBA Finals. So congratulations to both the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Indiana Pacers for making big moves by just trading away Paul George. All right, moving on to baseball and my top 10 MLB power rankings for this week. We actually have a team that is storming up the power rankings, but overall, for the most part, it's pretty much the same usual suspects we've had over the last month-ish. No change at the top, though, this week. It's number one still remains the Detroit Tigers, overall record of 39-21. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the San Francisco Giants and the Kansas City Royals. Casey Mize is back, and he is leading the team with 6 wins. Tarik Skubal, he's continuing to have a great season as well with 5 wins, a 2.26 ERA, and 99 strikeouts. And offensively, this team is just exploding, and they seem to be getting stronger as the season wears on. And this Detroit Tigers team is looking really, really good right now. Then at number two on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Chicago Cubs. And this is the team that I was talking about that's just shooting up the power rankings. They're 37-22 on the season. Yeah, 37-22. They are the number one team in the National League right now. 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Colorado Rockies and the Cincinnati Reds. Unfortunately, Kyle Tucker did get injured yesterday. Looks like he hurt his hand or a finger. So we'll see if that ends up being a lingering thing or if he ends up getting on the injured list. They haven't really said anything today. But other than that, it's been pretty much really nice offensively for the Chicago Cubs. I mean, they have not slowed down at all. PCA is having his year. He is just having a monster year, batting a .280 with 15 home runs and 51 RBI, and he just keeps getting hotter as the season wears on. This offense for the Chicago Cubs, it's electric. And their pitching, even though they're starting pitching, they have suffered so many injuries to the starting pitching, they are still overcoming it and having really not many issues with it. They're tops in the league, in the National League right now, and that says a lot. And it kind of feels like every week they have a new injury. And like I said, here's Kyle Tucker, the next guy up who could potentially be on the injured list. And they are overcoming those injuries and lighting up every single team they face so far. Then at number three on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Los Angeles Dodgers, overall record of 36-23. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Cleveland Guardians and the New York Yankees. As a matter of fact, right now, they are first in the league with 343 runs. So they are having zero issues scoring themselves, which is no shock there. Teoscar Hernandez is right back at it, batting a .291 with 10 home runs and 42 RBI. Otani's got 22 home runs on the season. And just continues to do what he does. The only problem with the Dodgers is their starting pitching and just the injuries continue to pile up for them. And Mookie Betts, he also broke his toe earlier in the week. So it doesn't look like he's going to have a stint on the injured list, at least right now. It doesn't look like that's going to be the case. But he did miss a series against the Yankees, and it looks like he's going to be out for tonight as well. So we'll see what happens with Mookie Betts if he ends up having to take some time on the injured list. But doesn't really seem to be a big deal for the Dodgers because they still keep on winning. Then at number four in my top 10 MLB power rankings of the New York Mets, overall record of 37-22. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they actually swept the Chicago White Sox and swept the Colorado Rockies, which is something they really needed because the Mets were kind of slumping just a little bit, but they got right back at it. And Kota Senga having a phenomenal year with 6 wins, a 1.60 ERA, and 59 strikeouts on the season. And Juan Soto, he is actually keeping the hot streak going. He's at a couple of weeks now with the hot streak. Right now he's batting a .233, which is not typical Juan Soto numbers, but that's all good. Then he's also got 10 home runs on the season and 28 RBI. So he's actually starting to get going. This past weekend, he actually really did have a great weekend. So we'll see if Juan Soto is going to get back to Soto form. But it doesn't really seem to matter because the Mets pitching is lights out. They lead the league in the lowest ERA overall with all their pitchers at this point in time. So they're really just knocking it out with that pitching. Then at number five on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the New York Yankees, overall record of 36-22. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they swept the Los Angeles Angels, but lost a series to the Los Angeles Dodgers. But Aaron Judge just continues his monster season, batting a .391, 21 home runs, and 50 RBI. Shockingly, he doesn't lead the league in either of those home run and RBI categories, but he is still top five in both of those categories. Max Fried, you know, he started off the season electric, but now his last couple of starts, he's been getting blown up just a bit, but that's going to happen to you. I still expect Fried to continue his great season. It's just the last couple of outings he's had have just been not really good, and he had a terrible one against the Dodgers over the weekend. Then at number six on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Philadelphia Phillies, overall record of 36-23. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Atlanta Braves and got swept by the Milwaukee Brewers. Zach Wheeler, though, is still doing Zach Wheeler things. He's got 6 wins on the season with a .296 ERA and 94 strikeouts. So he's doing his thing. And then, of course, Kyle Schwarber just dropping Schwar bombs everywhere he goes, batting a .266, 19 home runs and 44 RBI. And just really, he's just been having a great year. It's crazy to watch he and Aaron Judge every single year. It feels like we're always talking about Judge, Otani, and Schwarber just knocking bombs out of the park. And they're all three very, very, very consistent. Batting average-wise, they're all getting on base. They're all hitting the walk-offs when they need to. They're just all three of them are just phenomenal, and they've been phenomenal over the past few seasons too. It feels like I've been talking about all three of them constantly when we're talking about hitting, and they just keep it up, and it feels like none of them are letting up, and hey, I'm here for it. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the St. Louis Cardinals, overall record of 33-26. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Baltimore Orioles, but lost the series to the Texas Rangers. This team is just really putting it together. There really isn't a standout player on this team, if you will. It just kind of feels like everybody's playing their role. The starting pitching, it just kind of feels like it's starting pitcher by committee. But even so, they're all really just going out there with some solid outings, with Sonny Gray, Nicholas, Palante, Feedy. All four of them are just really having pretty solid seasons so far, and it's going to be interesting to see if the Cardinals are able to keep it up. But so far, this is what the Cardinals are doing, and especially with the starting pitching, they just got a really strong starting pitching lineup right now. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, a team that we haven't really talked about yet, but they are getting hot, and that is the Milwaukee Brewers. Overall record of 32-28. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Boston Red Sox and the Philadelphia Phillies. And Christian Yelich, you can never get rid of this dude. It feels like every year he gets injured, and it's always a bad injury, and then he comes right back the next season and then gets it going. Right now he's got 12 home runs on the season and 39 RBI, and he's just been having a phenomenal year. He's had a couple of walk-offs and just some great – he's just been getting on base when he needs to and just making the big plays when he has to. Also, Jackson Churio, he's starting to get hot as well. He's batting at 258 with 5 home runs and 35 RBI. Kind of started off the season a little bit slow, but he's starting to get going offensively as well. Milwaukee Brewers just kind of doing what they do, hovering around. Their starting pitching is not great, but it's not terrible. But it's really the offensive side of the ball for them. They're getting a lot of offensive production, especially out of Yelich right now. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the San Diego Padres, overall record of 33-24. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Miami Marlins and the Pittsburgh Pirates. Manny Machado is just on fire this season. He has been so clutch for them. He's batting a 308 with 7 home runs and 27 RBI. And then Jackson Merrill, you know, he had a little bit of a stint on the injured list, and it's taken him a minute to get back at it, but he's actually starting to get into the groove right now. He's got 5 home runs and 22 RBI. So the Padres, you know, they kind of had their little bit of a slump there, but they are now starting to climb right back up that mountain, and they're nipping on the butt of the Los Angeles Dodgers right now. And then rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings this week, have the Seattle Mariners, overall record of 32-26. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series to the Washington Nationals, and they lost a series to the Minnesota Twins. But Cal Raleigh, this guy is having an MVP-type season. Right now, Cal Raleigh is batting a 264 with 23 home runs. And by the way, he is the home run leader right now. He leads over those three guys I was talking about before him: Aaron Judge, Kyle Schwarber, Shohei Ohtani. He is above them right now, and he's been there all season long, and then 45 RBI as well, so just a great year for Cal Raleigh, and he just has not let up at all. The Seattle Mariners team, they're of course on a little bit of a downslide right now, but they're still tops in their division, and playing excellent baseball at this point in time. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.